Hello everyone, and here it finally is, after almost a year, the end of Digimon Seekers. The epilogue, which is what I'm about to read, obviously takes place after Chapter 4 of Digimon Seekers, so if you haven't already read or listened to the previous chapters, I suggest that you do so just before listening. As always, I recommend checking out the official release over on Digimon.net. Just give the official release the clicks that tells Bandai that people are reading and that they care about the series. Also, like with previous chapters, I'm going to be reading from the official English translation over on Digimon.net, so there haven't been that many mistakes and typos and the misuse of character names for a bit, but I'll try to mention whenever there's a weird translation error or a typo if it's something that gets confusing, like when the wrong character name is called, for example. But mostly it's been okay, but just keep in mind that that's what I'm going to be reading from. Also, as always, I will do voices for characters, but please keep in mind that I'm not a professional voice actor or anything, so don't expect any amazing voice work. I'll do my best, of course, like I have previously done, but I'm not, like, trained as a voice actor or with voice work, but I'll do my best to make sure that the voices, one, sound different, and two, sound, I guess, interesting, and, like, they've got different characters, I don't know, but I'm doing my best in that regard, but still, don't, like, run to the comments saying, your voice work is terrible, why are you like this, I don't know, so, don't roast me too hard is what I'm saying. And lastly, I will be providing some of my thoughts on Seekers after the reading at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned for that, I guess, about my brief thoughts and first impressions about the epilogue and Seekers. But for more thoughts about the series, and I guess for anything that I've spoken about in the past, check out my videos over on YouTube. Of course, if you are watching / listening to this on YouTube, you're already there. If not, it's just Lost in Translation on YouTube. I'm sure you'll be able to find me in some short amount of time. I don't know. It's just, I don't think there's many people called Lost in Translation on YouTube. So check out that. I will put a link for the Seekers playlist in the description, unless I forget, in which case, whoopsies. Anyway, with all that housekeeping out of the way, let's continue on to the end of Digimon Seekers. Epilogue. Cheers, Eiji said, raising his beer-filled glass to another with a satisfying clink. The yakitori restaurant buzzed around him, conversations flying every which way as people dug into their fixed-price food and drink courses. Its clientele consists mainly of college students and young professionals. Workers hammering out overtime on their laptops were sprinkled among young couples grabbing a bite. Happy birthday, Eiji, Leon said in return. Happy birthday to me. Farewell, teens. Hello, 20s. What a wild ride, Eiji said. His mouth ringed with foam. He was finally able to drink in Japan, and he was taking full advantage of it. His exploits at the SOC's Gateway Festival were the hot topic all across the deep web. He was among the first human to travel to the depths of the digital world and live to tell about it. More than that, his venture into the unknown was a success. Everyone involved, Yulin, Kosuke, Leon, and the others, agreed never to divulge full details to the public, and had thus far kept their word. Then again, the fact that an upstart codecracker by the name of Eiji Nagasumi rescued Leon Alexander's consciousness and brought him back from being digital missing in action was hard to keep under wraps. I'm so glad we finally get to share a drink, Leon. All this time I've been thinking about how badly I wanted to make this moment a reality, and now it's actually happening. And you made it happen, because you came looking for me. So thank you once again. What's all this once again business? All this painful earnestness is gonna make me cringe. Hey, you gotta tell people how you feel while you have the chance. Eiji couldn't help but pick up good bits and pieces of other conversations in the place. Europe just keeps moving the goalposts, whether it's in sports or electric cars. An exasperated middle manager forcefully expounding upon the state of the world markets. Can't we just split the bill? It's not unheard of. A woman hashing out the bill with a man attempting to pick her up. A peal of uproarious laughter studded with expletives from a nearby group of college students. Mirth incarnate. This always happens when we come to places like this. You should know better by now. A girlfriend, incensed by the arrival of a water she clearly did not order, overwhelming her partner with showy displeasure. A nearby waiter eyed them warily, secretly wishing they'd leave. And there, in the middle of this greasy tableau, sat AG and Leon, a code cracker and a hacker, simply having a chat. Don't say anything nice, Leon. When you grow up, you never know when you're going to die. Next to AG, the waiter placed a skewer on the table, looking agitated. Actually almost died, that's what I call it. Even among my fellow code crackers, there are some who lose touch with each other at some point. Everyone has various circumstances, various things. There is no shortage of people who become DMIA. They're still treated as unidentified people for unidentifiable reasons, but how long will they be able to keep the reality of the digital world and Digimon a secret? That's right. That's right. Before I forget this, it's my birthday present. Leon brought out his Digimon Linker arm. Oh? What? AG is also Digimon Linker and receives the data sent by Leon. Reader's note, yep, that's exactly what that says. I have no idea what it meant by that either. I guess has also, but it says AG is also Digimon Linker. Go figure. Anyway, back to the reading. I have compiled information that can be shared regarding the incident on Country X last month. Oh, seriously? That's helpful. You really don't have any regrets, that bald guy. That's also, yep, that's what it says. Anyway. After checking the data, AG ordered a refill on the store's tablet computer. Once you get a taste of Digimon crimes, that terrorist nation has no other core industry. As expected, these days he doesn't call out the SOC and make false accusations anymore. That bald dictator needs some more moxibustion. The next time something happens in Country X, as a hacker, I will tolerate it. Oh yeah? Look at you getting all conspiratorial. What a productive meeting of the hacker and codecracker minds. AG and Leon lifted their heads to see a woman with green streaks peeking out of the inner layers of her hair. Satsuki, you found us! AG leapt up to greet Satsuki Tamahime, deputy squad leader of the Digipolice. I didn't find Squirt. You invited me, Satsuki snarled. Haven't been here in a minute, the tall woman behind Satsuki said, her eyes scanning the restaurant's interior. The voice belonged to none other than Shu Yulin, the head of the Digipolice. The four split a large bottle of beer, and the conversation gradually loosened. So, what was that little bit of data you two shared with each other just as we walked in? Come on, show me, you little punk! Satsuki barked. Oh, are we gonna have to cut you off after one bottle? You're getting pretty heated. AG said as he yanked his Digimon Linker arm away from Satsuki's prying hands. Leave him alone, Satsuki. We're off duty, remember? Ha! There's no such thing as a day off for the Digipolice! Satsuki shouted in full defiance of her superior. Such was their working relationship.
I think you need to make some friends other than that slug of yours.
Don't think you can say whatever you want just because you're cute, Leon Alexander! Satsuki snapped, jabbing her finger in Leon's face.
Go on, have another glass, AG said, angling for more drama.
Okay, Satsuki said. This is cause for celebration. We finally get to have a nice little chat, and in the real world, no less. AG beamed. It felt good to share their labels and talk to one another like real human beings. It turned out that Satsuki's resignation letter over her unauthorized deployment of Brigadramon was rejected. Yulin was still the head of the Digipolice, and there were no major shake-ups in the wake of the Gateway breach. Of course, there were plenty more internal matters the squad leader and her deputy weren't at liberty to talk about.
You really like that stuff, huh? Yulin asked, gesturing at the pile of chicken skin skewers in front of AG.
I love it!
Yeah, I know it's the first time we're meeting face to face and all, but...
Yulin began. Well, there was that one time we passed by each other back at DDL, AG said as he poured Yulin another glass.
Whatever the case, I feel like I've been had. You're no different from any other college kid,
Yulin said with a derisive sniff.
Don't let him fool you, squad leader. He may have those puppy dog eyes, but he's the leader of the SOC.
Indoor voice, Satsuki, Yulin chided. Did you just call AG cute? Leon asked with surprise, sensing that she'd revealed more than she intended. You've got it all wrong, Satsuki. Tartarus is still the leader of the SOC.
Oh, is he? He hasn't made any moves or shown his face since. I need to use the bathroom,
Satsuki announced loudly and stood up from the table. Tartarus was just a title given to Kosuke and his partner Digimon, apparently. Always had been, Eiji said, lowering his voice to avoid drawing attention. It was reserved for whoever happened to be in charge at the time, and ensured that Tartarus would be a constant, stable, at the head of the SOC.
What happened to Kosuke after all that anyway? Leon asked.
You know, I don't even know, Eiji said through a mouthful of skewer. He hadn't seen Kosuke since Operation Tartarus.
Really? Color me surprised.
Well, I only met him in the real world once, though now I'm living in his former safe house.
Wait, is your address still the Three Mat apartment?
Officially, yeah. That's where the family altar is, and Lugamon really likes the place.
The Digipolice were aware, Yulin cut in, that you and Leon were working more closely now. But I get the sense we've overestimated just how closely. The left hand doesn't seem to know what the right hand is doing.
Hmm, I suppose not, AG said.
It's been a couple of months since we last met up, at any rate,
Leon added. There was no point in trying to hide that from the Digipolice. Leon and AG were constant topics of conversation on Grimm, but they themselves didn't correspond every single day. We've each got our own things going, and Leon's still a student anyhow, AG said, giving Yulin further food for thought.
Is it fair to say you're taking care to protect me too? It wouldn't be great optics for the person on whom all the real-world digital world's research hopes and seed money have been pinned to be seen openly hanging out with a co-crack from the SOC.
Yeah, exactly, AG replied with a nod. A year later, they were all still trying to reconfigure their lives around what happened in the digital world source domain. Leon was the first DMI patient in living memory to recover, though he'd also spent relatively little time in a coma, which minimized the harm to his body. Upon completing rehabilitation, he resumed his studies at Tokyo Electrical, where he became a permanent researcher of DMI treatment and recovery. He also continued his extracurricular activities as the hacker judge. Eiji Nagasumi kept on with his code-cracking work, albeit from a brand new perspective. He was now a folk hero on the net for his actions during the Gateway crack and subsequent foray into the depths of the digital world. And for once, he was on the winning team. For all intents and purposes, the other code-crackers on Grimm saw him as the de facto leader of the SOC, and neither Marvin the Songsmith nor any of the other SOC leaders challenged that assertion. He didn't feel any different, though, and he certainly didn't feel like a leader.
So much can change in a year, Yulin said, wistfully.
Ultimate Warblade, Takumi Kazuchi! In an instant, Dex Doraemon disintegrated into the Source Domain's ether. Kazuchimon, now a sword in Fenrir Lugamon's mouth, sliced through the armor protecting the zombified Digicore Predator, sealing its fate. All of Professor Risenji's work, researching the Source Digimon, applying that data to stave off Doraemon's death by turning it into an undead nightmare, vanished. Bits of Dex Doraemon's wings floated gently to the ground and vanished like so much pixelated mist. The data downloaded from the Source Domain returned to the vast network sea from whence it came, spared its shambling fate. Leon and Eiji prevailed. They'd activated a fusion digivolution deep inside the digicores of Fenrir Lugamon and Kazuchimon with their shared desire to put a stop to any monster that would toy with the lives of others. And now they stood victorious. Only Doraemon remained in the wake of the attack. Fenrir Lugamon scooped up the data-typed prototype Digimon for safekeeping. The attack from Takemikazuchi had at last freed the small Digimon from Professor Risenji's restraints. Eiji, meanwhile, was in a daze. He'd been so eager to strike that he hadn't given himself time to process what was happening, though he ostensibly witnessed it blow by blow.
Dexter Agoramon is no more.
Sorry? Eiji said in bewildered response to Leon's statement. He looked down at the talking sword that was Kazuchimon in surprise.
Doramon secured. No sign of further transmission from Professor Risenji.
They had sent the professor packing. They'd protected everyone from his attack, and far more people beyond that. It was hard to put into words the magnitude of what they'd saved, but life in the digital world was at the top of the list.
Operation Tartarus, Phase 4, complete.
Kosuke, is that you? Eiji said, spinning around to locate the voice. He spotted Kosuke's holized form standing beside Yulin, Rudamon, and Eiji's three Tyrannomon at the altar.
We didn't complete the mission to the letter, but I'm counting this as a win, Kosuke said, revealing the black Agumon next to him.
Kosuke, the black Agumon said in a small voice, gripping his hand tightly with all its might.
Thank you, Eiji, from the bottom of my heart, Kosuke said.
Eiji was at a loss for words, but Fenrir Lugumon, hastily downgraded back to Lugumon, alerted him to a much more important matter.
Yeesh, I'm about to hit my limit here. Sorry to cut and run, but I've got to go, like, 5 minutes ago. Great job, everybody.
I imagine you two feel it even more strongly at your age. Once you notice a change, it can feel like you've turned into a completely different creature in the span of a single day, Yulin said, continuing her contemplative tone.
Once you noticed it, eh?
Eiji asked rhetorically. And that change is precious, like a Digimon digivolving to a new form for the first time, Yulin mused. Despite the gravity of her little monologue, she was in a very good mood. Eiji had been in regular conversation with her via grim back channels ever since the Gateway incident, where she assured him there would be no public investigation.
Speaking of precious things, I just wanted to thank you for not branding me as a criminal here in the real world, by the way. The Digipolice absolutely had the power to ruin his life, legally speaking. So far, they hadn't. He'd figured he'd earned Yulin's trust through his dealings with Kosuke, but he knew he was still a codecracker in their eyes. Their relationship could change at any moment.
On that note, I wanted to ask you about Kosuke, Yulin said bluntly. Where is he now? What is he doing? Hearing about the untraceable Tartarus is the whole reason I even showed up for this.
She wasn't leaving without an update.
Funny you should mention him. I actually invited him to this little get-together, Eiji replied.
You what?
Yulin flinched. Her head whipped back and forth, scanning the room.
Yeah, but he said he literally couldn't make it in time. He must be out of the country or something. I invited him to the after party, though. He'll probably show up for that.
What after party?
You mean?
Leon asked, glancing conspicuously at his Digimon linker. Pulsemon's image was nowhere to be seen on its display.
Yep, you got it.
Lugumon wasn't visible on Eiji's Digimon linker either. Their partner Digimon were out and about.
There you are! So sorry I'm late! Came a voice from across the room.
Hey, Hatsu, you made it! Over here! Eiji said, getting to his feet to wave her in.
Did work keep you late?
Leon asked genuinely.
Oh, hey, Leon. It's been ages. My fan club's been withering ever since you stopped coming by DDL, I'll have you know.
Hatsune said, with a faux grumpiness as she plunked herself down at the table.
They sure are keeping you busy, huh?
Eiji inquired.
Like you wouldn't believe. It's been non-stop since last year. People are getting shuffled around all the time, which means I have to wear so many hats now.
The professor relocated his main research facility to America, didn't he? Yulin cut in.
Oh goodness, the head of the Digipolice is here!
Hatsune yelped, taking notice of Yulin.
You didn't tell me she'd be coming?
Yulin quietly griped to Eiji.
I didn't know if she'd show myself,
Eiji said in surprise. For that matter, he hadn't even told Hatsune who would be at the party.
She's the DDL receptionist, right?
Yulin said, just loud enough to catch Hatsune's attention.
Hi, my name is Hatsune Mocha. Thanks so much for everything you do.
We don't need to bother so much with the formalities today, Leon offered.
Oh, good. That means a lot coming from you, Leon.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I'm the one who put this together. Of course it's casual, AG chirped.
Ugh, the wait for the toilet was horrendous. Hey, who's the new cutie?
Satsuki said, looking at Hatsune. In the year following the showdown in the Source Domain, Professor Isenji maintained control of Abaddon Electronics and his prominent position in the field of digital world research. There weren't any laws against which he could be tried, and so he remained a free man. He did, however, announce almost immediately after the incident that his research centre would be moving out of DDL and relocating to America. Whether this was a change of heart or simply discomfort at having been bested was impossible to say. He was never outwardly nasty to AG and Leon afterward. Leon retained his hacker contract with DDL, and AG continued to receive his fees, complete with a bonus. For obvious reasons, Leon elected to move out of the apartment the professor provided. Shu Yulin and the Digipolice, as well as Kosuke Kizukata's quiet presence, undeniably loomed over the professor. They hadn't voiced it, but everyone at the party quietly figured that contributed to his exodus. Eiji imagined Professor Isenji, spitting mad, sat at his desk in the DDL laboratory after Dextoragoramon's destruction, his video feed to the Source Domain severed.
How could they have defeated my Dextoragoramon?
Eiji pictured him yelling to no one in particular. He probably would have followed it up with something lofty like,
I appreciate the advantage your youth gives you, but do not think you have defeated me.
Now that we're all here, let's do a proper toast. Does everyone have their drinks? AG asked, looking out over the table.
Cheers! Everyone shouted in unison. So anyway, Hatsune continued, Professor Isenji said he wants to come.
AG, Leon, and Yulin simultaneously spat out their drinks.
Hatsu!
AG choked out through a coughing fit. Are you serious? Leon managed.
Yeah, but I'm in charge of his scheduling for Japan, and he had another meeting he couldn't get out of, so I went ahead and cancelled his appearance here.
A meeting?
Mm-hmm. With the US Secretary of Defense. He was all set to take a private jet out here and everything. It's a real shame, she lamented.
AG and Leon looked eyes. Oh man, that was close, AG said with a heavy sigh.
Thank you, Pentagon. Mission accomplished.
Leon matched his sigh of relief. Yulin, too, looked more at ease. Meanwhile, in the wall slum of the outskirts of the digital world, a gentle breeze rolled in off a destructive offshore vortex. A year later, the Digimon in the wall slum still spoke of the humans who managed to crack the gateway. It had since been closed again, but there was palpable excitement in the once gloomy wall slum's air. Someone had punctured a hole in the barrier that kept them in exile. It was possible. The biggest change, however, came to the Castle of Nine Wolves.
Leon and company are gonna be late,
Pulsemon said, sitting on a rooftop looking over the castle square.
Leaving us hanging as usual. That's agey for ya,
Lugamon said as they bit into a hunk of meat. The demon wolf of the Castle of Nine Wolves was back on their home turf. The ground floor of the illegal building that once blighted in the district was now their base of operations. An SOC mark adorned its facade. The 9th District Digimon cavorted in the castle square, enjoying the celebratory feast.
Something wrong, Rudimon?
Lugamon asked, turning to the helmeted prototype Digimon. They sat quietly, not so much as touching the food right in front of them.
I am only in attendance by virtue of my partner having been invited. Forgive me, but I cannot help but feel I do not belong here, they replied.
Worry spread across their face as they tried to reconcile their role as a member of the Digipolice with their attendance at a feast held in the heart of Code Cracker territory.
Well, your Digipolice partner is out having drinks with AG and the others as we speak, so I think you have permission to enjoy yourself if it helps. And my hacker partner is with him too,
Pulsemon said, urging Rudimon not to think too deeply about it.
Indeed, perhaps it is fine.
Of course it's fine. Go on, have a drink, Pulsemon said, taking up a bottle.
Rudimon picked up their glass.
watched as Postmon poured a liquid of indeterminate colour into it, and downed it in one swift gulp.
Ugh, that is fierce, Rudimon said, blinking furiously.
They glanced at the label of the bottle. Demon Wolf Pure Brew.
A 9th District specialty, proudly and illegally brewed right here, Lugamon said, puffing out their chest.
Illegally? Rudimon said with a start.
Not that there are many laws here in the digital world, it's just data about real-world liquor that I took from AG's Digimon Linker and approximated here. Should bring in enough to fund our operations, anyhow.
Lugamon had a mind for business, as it turned out. AG's 3 Tyrannomon, meanwhile, were the entertainment for the evening. They danced about the square, wowing the other Digimon in attendance with periodic bursts of fire.
It's been quite the journey, but it seems like it all worked out, Pulsemon said with a smile.
I guess it did work out, yeah. It wasn't boring, Lugamon said flippantly.
AG's flair for the casual had rubbed off on them.
So, like, do you remember everything now? Pulsemon eagerly asked, spurred on by their drink.
Yeah? You know, your memories of the past and all that.
Pulsemon tried again, trying to reframe the question about Lugamon's corrupted memory. Lugamon sat for a moment, considering their answer.
You seem to remember a bit more each time you digivolved, and then we overheard Leon and AG's nice long talk. You said you were captured by DDL, right?
Maybe, Lugamon said with a sigh.
Maybe? Does it matter? It's all in the past now. Besides, I wouldn't want to talk about it even if I did remember. AG, well, he needs me. He's got his own future ahead of him, and I want to do something great with it.
Huh. Wow.
Lugamon's answer had taken a heavy turn, but Postmon's attention was already elsewhere. They took another drink.
Hope Leon and AG pace themselves tonight. We wouldn't be able to mind link if they don't.
Digimon had the built-in benefit of being able to break down and process alcohol data in the span of a clock cycle, while the humans were left to rely on their imperfect biological solutions.
Eh, if it comes to it, we can just release the locks on their linkers.
Speaking of, did you invite, you know, him?
Pulsemon asked. AG said he sent him a message.
Wow, he's been mind-linked ever since, right? He spends more time in here than out of there, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I bet the old man's more Digimon than human by now.
Want to bet on whether or not he shows?
Pulsemon prodded.
What?
Lugamon said, wearily.
Come on, a month's worth of food says he...
Pulsemon stopped mid-sentence as they took notice of the shadow that fell over the castle square. Everyone turned their eyes to the network seas above. A winged dragon silhouette passed through the air above them, the Warthumb's lights reflecting on its silver body.
Dorugorumon, they've come!
A somewhat unsteady Rudimon yelped, raising their claws to the sky in delight.
See, you made it after all, Lugamon said as Dorugorumon slid in for a soft landing.
Hello to you too, Lugamon. Where's Eiji?
Kosuke asked, his hollowized form strolling amicably through the castle square.
Not here yet, but he's on his way. You want to go greet him?
Lugamon said as they leapt down from the roof. Kosuke took a look at the SOC marking on the building before him. The black Agumon stood by his side, clutching his hand. Kosuke took up a glass and raised it to the sky.
To Eiji, the new leader of the SOC, and his partner Lugamon, the Demon Wolf of the 9th District.
And that's it for both Digimon Seekers, the epilogue, and Digimon Seekers, the web novel overall. So, as I mentioned at the start of the recording, I will be doing review videos over on YouTube, but just my quick thoughts. There were a weird amount of typos in this chapter. I mentioned a few of them, but there were a few that I kind of picked up but didn't comment on. For example, at the start of the chapter, there's a woman who's upset about being brought a glass of water. I'm not sure if that's meant to say waiter or if she's been brought something else. I found like that was just a weird thing. I haven't checked what was said in the Japanese version there. There's also Rudimon's weird, towards the end, am only in attendance. That wasn't me misspeaking. That was just literally what it says.
So that felt a little bit weird, that for the most part, lately, Digimon Seekers has had a pretty decent translation, except for obviously the first chapter, which had some issues, obviously, and the second one kind of got better, but this felt like the worst translated one, which feels weird because it's the last bit, and it also came out a month after the last part, the last part of chapter 4. So it was weird that they couldn't just pull their finger out just for the last part of it. However, yes, it was longer, with previous parts being about 2,000 words and this one being 4,000. So, of course, this part was longer than the other parts, but still, the weird translation issues in this were surprising. Overall, I did enjoy Digimon Seekers. I'm glad that this last part of it, the epilogue, didn't just jump straight to the bar scene. I mean, it did, but it didn't just gloss over the fight. It still kind of went over what happened after, like directly after the events. So I can't complain too much there. We kind of got closure there about what happened. And is Professor Esenji at large now? Yes, he is. One might assume that that kind of leaves it open for a sequel. I hope we don't get a sequel. I love Digimon Seekers. I felt like it was perfect for me as a Digimon fan. It had a lot of the aspects that I like about Digimon. It was a more, a quote, mature, unquote, version of Digimon with actual adults who can drink, who have jobs. That's always nice to see in Digimon. A lot of the time they're just kids. So I liked having characters who were closer to my own age. That I appreciated, and overall the setting I've mentioned a bunch of times is very much the setting I like from Digimon. We saw a similar setting in both Cyber Sleuth and Digimon World 2003, which are my favourite parts of the franchise, or some of the favourite parts. So I love the setting for Digimon Seekers, and I feel like I just enjoyed it in general. However, it's not something I would necessarily easily recommend to people, especially now that it's complete. Part of my enjoyment of Digimon Seekers was the fact that it gave me something to read every week, and it gave me something to talk about with people on Discord or on YouTube or on Twitter every week. So I do like that kind of thing. In one whole, like, I can't imagine really reading this in one whole, like, well, I guess obviously not one whole sitting, but like with it being a complete product. I hope we still get like a physical book. That would be cool. I can't imagine us getting a physical book in English, though, but in Japanese I can imagine us getting that because we've had Digimon novelizations in Japanese before. Overall, I love that they did something different with Digimon. We've had manga before, we've had novels before, we've had obviously the anime before, but we've not really had a web novel. And the previous novelizations were just that. They were novelizations of Digimon Adventure. Actually, now I think about it, I'm pretty sure all the Digimon novelizations are Digimon Adventure related, be it Kazuna or be it the original Adventure novelizations, for example. So it's nice that we get something that's an original story, and I really did like the setting. However, yeah, it's kind of one of those harder things to recommend, in the same way that Digimon Survive is probably my favorite Digimon game, but it's not the one that I will readily recommend when someone asks for a recommendation. However, I do like that Digimon Seekers is standalone. You don't really need to know anything about Digimon. It tells you about Digimon. You don't even have to know about the Vital Bracelet. Having said that, I was surprised that we didn't get more Vital Bracelet, like Linker Bands, like we did for Lugamon. We had previews of them, so they did exist, at least in prototype form. But the Vital Bracelet just kind of, like, just stopped. So that's kind of a shame. But I did enjoy it overall, and I would like more of a web novel, especially when they are legally, freely, and officially translated. I feel like that's great. It's great that we had something that we didn't have to rely on fans to translate. However, yes, the translation, which I've mentioned, had some issues, especially at the start, which I think is a huge problem. I know of a lot of people who dropped Digimon Seekers in Chapter 1 because of the translation, and they are of the belief that
the rest of Digimon Seekers has that same level. That's a huge problem. If they want people to read something, they have to have at least the first chapter be the one that's really good. You have to get people involved and interested in it. If people don't like a translation for something, they'll drop it. And people did, which is a shame, because again, I did like Digimon Seekers. Again, it's not something that is as easy to recommend as Digimon Ghost Game, for example, because that's got a good translation, but it's an anime. A book like this, kind of, you need a little bit more brain to read, and by brain I don't mean, like, intelligence, I mean level of focus. You can sort of have an anime on, and you can kind of multitask, you can kind of be zoning out, you can kind of be, you know, eating or something. With reading, it needs more of your attention span. That's what I meant, not brain. It needs more of your focus, more of your attention, I guess. Yeah, also, I guess, more of your brain, because that is involved, but it's not, yeah, it's something that's a little bit harder to recommend. Again, I did appreciate the fact that we got something different. I appreciate the older demographic, but I feel like the translation is a huge issue, especially when you want to recommend something to someone. You can't just say, oh, by the way, every so often, there'll just be a sentence that doesn't make sense, and you kind of have to assume that, you kind of have to make up what you think they might have said. And that's a huge problem, because it's a novel. It should be good with that. But that's my main gripe, I guess, because you want to be able to read something and not have weird I have am issues. But again, it's free, so I can't complain too much. It's nice that we got something that, again, is just available so easily and accessibly, except for the translation, which does hurt it a bit. So those are my quick impressions about the epilogue and Digimon Seekers. The art was also great. We had some great art. The Kosuke and Black Agumon part, like, that's kind of bittersweet. Like, you know, he's got his girlfriend, but she's trapped in a Digimon and also in the digital world. And yeah, that's kind of sad. And by girlfriend, I mean his fiance, which that's sad. Like, that got me, like, kind of a bit emotional. But otherwise, yeah, I enjoyed Digimon Seekers, and I hope we get something else like this in the future, but maybe not a sequel to Digimon Seekers. I don't think Digimon do very well when it comes to sequels. Except for 02 is a hard one because I have nostalgia for it, but overall, I don't really like the sequels as much. Also, Hack's Memory was good. Hack's Memory was probably better than the original, but for the most part, sequels bad for Digimon. But yeah, so those are my thoughts. Again, I'll be doing videos on Digimon Seekers because I really do like the setting, as I mentioned. But in any case, so link dumps presumably in the description. I'm pretty sure I have a link for the whole of the Seekers playlist on YouTube, so check out my other videos about Seekers. Contact us and stay updated. Leave us a comment on this episode on YouTube to join in the conversation. And for a full list of ways to find the podcast across the internet, such as YouTube, TikTok, Twitch, and Twitter, head over to my link tree, which is linktr.ee/lostintranslationmon. If you enjoy the podcast or videos or even my silly little posts online, you can show your support by signing up on Patreon, get some cool rewards, and help us hit milestones. And thank you to our current supporters on Patreon, Stephen Reeves, who's Y64 and Archive Our Own, Kaidawashi, Chisai, who you can follow on Twitter at Chisai236, Niobu, who says you should follow Chisa on Twitter at Chisa236. I've been talking for too long and now I'm having trouble putting words out of my mouth. Lismet, who's Lekmon on Tumblr, Nicholas Emery from Wanwell Hunting, a Hunter Reward podcast, Magnus Lucas, Jason105, Patrick Jason, Shelby Digital Hazard, who's on Twitch at The Digital Hazard, Tropimon, Vmon Tamer, Kasai, Big Bad, Beetle Borg, and Bent Archer. You can also make an one-off donation on PayPal, which can be found linked in the description. It's paypal.me/airdramon. And you can also donate to me on my Ko-fi account, ko-fi.com/airdra. And again, that's it. Hopefully the audio quality was fine. It is currently like 38 degrees, I think, and very warm. And I think my computer is slowly dying a very big death, I don't know, because the Audacity kept on freezing. So hopefully the audio quality is okay. I'll do my best to make sure that this recording hasn't been broken at some point. a few stop starts there. But yeah, so this recording actually took me like 2 hours instead of like the less than an hour recording it is. So that's cool and fun. But in any case, thanks so much for listening. And if you are listening / watching this on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, etc., etc. I kind of want to continue something that I was doing on the podcast like 4 years ago now, which was reading through Onkei's English translation of the Digimon Adventure novelization. So kind of tempted to do that. So let me know if you'd be interested in that. And yeah, that's all I have for Digimon Seekers, unless we have a Digimon Seekers 2, which I, yeah, definitely hope that we don't. So yeah, like, comment, subscribe, or if you're not on the YouTubes, do a 5-star rating or whatever. But I'm exhausted now. I'm gonna go scream in a cold shower or something. But anyway, so I will see you on the next one. Bye.